and good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us for this first ever edition of WBOY Talks. I'm Sean Beter. This is the first of our occasional two-hour call-in specials we plan on holding throughout next year and the years to come to take a deeper look at interesting people and issues in our community right here in northeastern Indiana. Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York is leaving his position on the force after more than a decade in his position with more than 30 years in public safety. He isn't going far, though. York has been named the new public safety director for the city of Fort Wayne. This hour, we're talking with Chief York about his career in the department, what he expects in his next job, and of course, we'll talk about some of the big headlines from the crime beat this year as well. And we hope you'll get in touch with us this hour. If you have a question or comment, call us 1-800-471-9264. You can always get on our WBOY Facebook page where you can comment on a post about this issue, or you can tweet us. We're at WBOI. Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Sean. I always enjoy coming out.
And with us in studio as well keep the conversation lively, an old friend of the station, Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. We appreciate you coming back.
Great to be back in the studio.
Chief, I want to start by talking a little bit about your career, your long career in public safety, in fact. Give us your CV. Give us the highlights, because you've been with the Fort Wayne Police Department for, well, a very, very long time.
Well, Sean, I started in 1975. In fact, my anniversary will be coming up. I think it was December 26th of 1975, 24 years old. And spent the first part of my career as, of course, a patrol officer, and worked my way up a little bit in narcotics. I was an undercover narcotics officer for a while, but spent about 7 years in traffic, was a motorcycle officer, a fatal accident investigator. And once I became a supervisor, I worked again in narcotics for about a year. I guess the high point of my One of the high points of my career was being able to attend the FBI National Academy, and became a captain, and in fact retired as a captain of the Detective Bureau back in 1997. And I had a 2.5 year career with Fort Wayne Community Schools in their transportation division. And then in 2000, Mayor Graham Richard asked me to come back, and it'll be almost 14 years now, and it's been a terrific run for me. I just really enjoyed leading the Fort Wayne Police Department. Great bunch of men and women.
I'm curious, why get into policing? Why get into public service? Why get into public safety in the first place? What inside you drove you to be a part of the department?
Well, actually, I'm the black sheep in my family because most of my relatives were firefighters. My father, two uncles, cousins, my son, in fact, who's probably listening, is a captain on the Fort Wayne Fire Department. Right out of high school, I became an electrical lineman for city utilities, and I did that, again, as a job, and never intending for it to be a career. But, you know, I always, when I was a child, I never thought I wanted to be a police officer. I always respected them. But I had a couple friends on the department, and it really sounded interesting because it was outside and moving from one event to the next. You weren't in the same place all day like factory work entailed. So I applied, and it took me about 2 years, but was finally accepted. And I can't say I enjoyed the academy experience, but I really enjoyed my career.
Why not?
Well, you know, most young people coming into law enforcement don't really realize how demanding and really stressful the academy experience can be, because again, it's demanding physically, but also as far as the work, the book work and memorization of streets. Now that we have GPS, it isn't as demanding there, but you know, we used to have to map out large sections of the city just so we would know where we were going, you know, back then.
And Bob Kaler,
so what about police work in 1975, 1976 would seem most different or most alien to a young police officer today?
Well, Bob, it was just a different world back then. It was actually, we had a lot less responsibility than officers do today. I tell people it was the best job in the world back then because you were handed a set of car keys at the beginning of the shift, and your main responsibility was responding to radio calls. And now the work, again, is much more technical. All of our officers have computers in their cars. The paperwork is a lot more significant than it was when I was on the street. And the expectations are higher. When our officers aren't actively involved in responding for calls to service, you know, they know where the hot spots are. They know who the bad guys are, who's involved in burglaries and robberies. And, you know, that really wasn't the case. Our work really wasn't that directed back in the 70s and the 80s. So, again, it's a lot more demanding today, and it's a lot more dangerous today. There are so many more guns out there, as we'll talk about, I'm sure, later, so much more violent crime than there was on the streets back in the 70s and 80s.
We are talking during this edition of WBOY Talks with Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York. He's not long for that position, but moving on to become the new Public Safety Director for the city of Fort Wayne. If you have a question or comment for Chief York, please do call us at 1-800-471-9264. You can always go to our WBOY Facebook page and comment on the post for this segment, or you can tweet us. It's at WBOI. I'm curious, in moving from the positions you were in, making that transition to chief under Graham Richard, what were the big challenges that you faced going, because that was around, what, 1999, is that?
2000.
Is that right? 2000. Yeah. What were the big challenges facing the city in terms of the police department, in terms of public safety 13, 14 years ago?
Well, a major transition for us back then, Sean, was our movement to divisional policing. Chief Neil Moore had started community-oriented policing, but we really took it to the next level by dividing the city into four separate divisions.
And community-oriented policing. What do you mean, community-oriented policing?
Well, community-oriented policing was just a phase we were going through at that particular point in history. I take the evolution from back in the dragnet days when it's just the facts, ma'am, and, you know, we went out to basically responding to calls for service. And that evolved more into community-oriented policing, where we really talked to our citizens and asked them what was important to them and to their neighborhood. So there was a lot more interaction with the community, and a lot more importance placed on what they wanted out of the police department. Again, that was started back in the late 90s. And then we moved to divisional policing, where realizing that different parts of the city had different issues, we divided it into quadrants and had a deputy chief over each area. So we really developed almost four smaller police departments, and we were able to customize our service to that particular area. And again, we placed a lot of accountability onto those deputy chiefs. And if they didn't reduce crime or increase apprehensions, then somebody else did the job. And I think it's one reason why, of course, this year, with the exception of homicides, we've reduced our crime steadily over the years.
Across the board.
Yes.
You're moving away, of course, from the chief position now. I'm curious, and you certainly had this other offer on the table. Mm-hmm. Was it a difficult decision to make to leave Fort Wayne Police Department after so many years in service?
You know, it was difficult in a way, but I think still being a significant part of the Fort Wayne Police Department as well as the fire department, that was very attractive to me. And at 62, you know, I realized that I wouldn't be doing this too many more years. And I think it provides our agency the opportunity to have me there as a mentor, because it's overwhelming coming in as chief, even though you've spent your career in a police department or fire department. It's really overwhelming. And to have somebody there to bounce things off of, I think that's going to be good to get the new chief and his staff up to speed, up and running as quickly as possible. And I think my years of experience navigating city and county government is going to be beneficial to the to both departments, both fire and police, and of course animal care and control comes under my position as well.
I want to talk a little bit more about the public safety director position in a moment, but at first, just in the last few days, actually, we've heard that Deputy Chief Gary Hamilton is going to be taking over the city police chief role. Tell us a little bit about Deputy Chief Hamilton.
You know, Gary has a 19-year history with the Fort Wayne Police Department, was an investigator with another independent agency before he came to the Fort Wayne Police Department, a graduate of Manchester College, has his bachelor's degree. Really a sharp individual. It was difficult for the mayor and I, only because we had so many competent people to choose from. Gary obviously rose to the top, and he's putting his staff together as we speak, but he chose an excellent person, Steve Reed, who's another deputy chief on our agency, to be his assistant. So, you know, I'm really excited about what these two gentlemen are doing so far. I mean, they're really at it, and, you know, they're choosing the rest of their staff and making changes as we speak, and that just confirms that we made a great choice.
And Deputy Chief Hamilton was the chief of the Southeast Quadrant.
That's correct.
It seems, given the challenges that the whole city's facing, but especially it seems like the Southeast side is facing now, it seems like that was it could have been an important part of his being promoted to your position. There are a lot of challenges facing that part of the city.
Right. You know, we talked about community-oriented policing a little bit ago, but, you know, that's what Gary's so good at, because he's out and about quite a bit. I mean, all of our homicides, he's out there, he's talking to people. He's highly respected, particularly in the Southeast community, and that does mean a lot. And his experience, not only as an investigator, homicide investigator with the Fort Wayne Police Department, but the great relationship he has with the prosecutor's office. He was a liaison there for a while. So he knows what's, you know, needed for cases, and he will be able to facilitate, I think, very well with the prosecutor's office, since that relationship already exists.
We do need to take a quick break here. We're talking during this hour of WBOY Talks with Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York. Chief York is moving on to become the Public Safety Director for the city of Fort Wayne in just about 2 weeks now, I believe. Mm-hmm. If you have a question or comment for Chief York, we certainly hope you'll get in touch with us this hour. 1-800-471-9264. You can always go to our Facebook page, and that's the WBOY Facebook page, and comment on our post for this program there, or send us a tweet. It's at WBOI. Stay with us, back in 2 minutes.
A decade of war is now ending.
President Obama had high hopes for 2013.
An economic recovery has begun.
But things went downhill from there.
The House is going to do its own job developing an immigration bill.
My name's Ed Snowden. I'm 29 years old.
We fumbled the rollout on this health care law.
Obama's bad year, today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon from 4 to 7 here on 89.1 WBOI.
The woman was on the ground and the bull was tossing her in the air and back on the ground.
And where were you?
I was right on the other side of the fence, but the fence was electric.
Why is it that certain people will risk their lives for a stranger?
I went ahead and just climbed through the fence.
While others won't.
My neighbors would not help me.
That question this week on Radiolab. This evening at 7 here on 89.1 WBOI.
Hi, I'm Rob Martinez, the host of The Nights Before Christmas. Please join me this Friday, December 20th from 8 to 11 p.m. as we listen to an hour of Christmas jazz and blues and highlights from my 2012 Christmas specials. You can listen online at WBOI.org or right here on your home for NPR News and diverse music, 89.1 WBOI.
Thanks for your generous support during 89.1 WBOI's year-end fund drive. Together, we'll make our programming and journalism even stronger in 2014. It's not too late to make your tax-deductible investment in the future of public radio. Just call 452-1189 or go online to WBOI.org and click Support the Station on the top right corner of our homepage. Together, we'll continue to provide Northeast Indiana with the best in great programming and in-depth reporting on WBOI.
And good afternoon. It's 2:21, and this is our special presentation of WBOY Talks right here on 89.1 at WBOY. This is the first of our occasional two-hour call-in specials we plan on holding throughout the upcoming year to take a deeper look at the interesting people and issues that make up our community. During this hour, we're talking with Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York about his career in the Fort Wayne Police Department and his new job that he's starting after the year turns over as Public Safety Director for the City of Fort Wayne. With us in studio as well, Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel, and we certainly hope you'll join the conversation this hour. Call us at 1-800-471-9264 if you have a question or comment for Chief York, or you can always go to our WBOY Facebook page, post your question or comment there, and we're on Twitter as well, at WBOI. We talked a little bit in the first part of the show about your career with the department. I want to move on to the new job, of course, Public Safety Director for the City of Fort Wayne. This is a position that the city hasn't had in over a decade, I believe. Tell us a little bit about what the job is, since folks may not be familiar, and a little bit about why the administration decided we needed it again.
Sure. Well, you know, a safety director existed for quite some time, up until 2000, when I came in as chief, and Mayor Graham Richard at that time decided, elected not to have a public safety director, but actually made the fire chief and police chief co-public safety directors. And, you know, my position, it's a direct report to the mayor, where before fire and police were division heads, they both reported to the mayor. Now both fire and police report to the public safety director as department heads. And I view my position, again, as to a degree being a mentor since I've been around so long, fortunately or unfortunately, and also to look at opportunities such as grants. We were able to secure a COPS grant for $1.25 million, enabling the Fort Wayne Police Department to put on 10 additional officers next year. And also to be involved in contract negotiations, budgets. We mentioned the grant opportunities. And also looking at bringing the departments closer together as far as policies, procedures, where we can, understanding that they're very different services. But so I think it provides the mayor with a very objective idea of what the police and fire department needs and where we need to go.
Bob Kaler.
So the things that you've outlined sound pretty managerial and administrative, as you know, you'll be the top manager there. But what kinds of things are you likely to be able to do that might pay off most directly for citizens in fire protection, stray animal control, police protection? Do you think that there are coordination issues among the departments you'll supervise that could yield better service?
Well, I certainly think a more consistent focus on grant opportunities is significant, because, and I can tell you, especially first coming in, police chiefs, fire chiefs are really overwhelmed with just taking care of the day-to-day business of running a department with 300 to 500 employees. And so this really provides that opportunity full time to leverage the contacts I've made over the last 14 years or 36 years in law enforcement to bring resources back to the City of Fort Wayne. I know currently we're looking at another grant for the fire department that could result in a significant increase in personnel. So I think we've got very competent people that are going to be able to run the fire department, run the police department successfully on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to alleviate some of their responsibilities so they can focus even more on that. So I would say the average citizen out there is not going to see too much difference, because they're still going to receive quality service and response. But I think just, again, in direction, where we need to go and how are we going to get there is significant. I know in the police department and the fire department as well, we can't just coast. We can't afford to coast. I mean, you really have to look at what opportunities exist out there and take advantage of them. In the police department, for example, I'm very proud of the fact that we were able to send 14 people over the last 14 years to the FBI National Academy. It's opportunities like that that, again, I think I can leverage to make those things occur.
Talk a little bit more, if you would, about that collaboration, because, you know, we think of police, fire, animal care and control, like you mentioned, very different entities, but it's all toward the same broad goal of
public safety.
Right. Talk a little bit more about that type of collaboration. I mean, what opportunities beyond grants, let's say, beyond maybe some of the day-to-day paperwork, or let's say, or the day-to-day running the department, how can you help that collaboration, that collaborative spirit further?
Well, right now, obviously, with the budgetary issues we're dealing with, staffing, not only in the Fort Wayne Police Department and the fire department, are issues. What I've always viewed my primary function to be as police chief is keeping our police officers safe. And as public safety director, that's going to be my main focus, how to keep our men and women who go out there and do that job safely every day. The second part of it is, how do we best serve the citizens of Fort Wayne, whether it's through animal care and control, fire, or police? And it's, again, never just holding steady, but looking at how we can better serve. I mean, as far as fire equipment, how we stage, that's important. Right now, I think an important issue we have is we've got a gem, really, of a emergency communication center that the city and county have spent close to $20 million building. It's going to go online January 28th. Not only do fire, police, and county police need to take advantage of that, but I want to see our ambulance service taking advantage of it too. I think that goes to public safety really in the broader sense. Mm-hmm. It's not just areas under my control, but it's other areas within the city as well. Maybe New Haven Police Department should think about taking advantage of our dispatch center. I know we've had conversations with Parkview Systems about their dispatch of their ambulance service. Another thing that we need to look at a little bit farther out is, would our fire department, should they be part of the ambulance service? Should they provide that service? So I think there's things that maybe that I know need to be explored to see if we can do them better.
You're talking a lot about outreach, and I want to ask you about that in just a moment. But I do want to remind our listeners that we're talking with Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York in this hour of WBOY Talks. And if you have a question or comment for Chief York, please do give us a call. It's 1-800-471-9264. Or you can always get on our Facebook page, the WBOY Facebook page, and send us your question or comment, and we'll get that passed along. Or you can tweet us if you're on Twitter. It's at WBOI. It sounds, Chief York, like you're talking a lot about community outreach, which goes back to the community policing standard that you talked about. Has the has the police department, has the fire department, have they not been able to do as much outreach as maybe they'd like to in the past? Is this a way for all the departments to get out into the community and create more of those partnerships?
Well, I see, again, my position is bringing the resource in to hopefully do just that.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people talk about the beats on the Fort Wayne Police Department. When are we going to bring the beats back to get in there and really interact with people on their front porch and listen to their concerns and address those concerns? But, you know, right now, due to our staffing, we basically go from call to call to call.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bringing those resources in to have more police officers to take advantage of the personnel to be more proactive. Just with the fire department over the last 2 weeks, I know I'm not officially starting till January 1st, but, you know, we were able to sit down with the controller's office, the fire chief, and determine that the size of their next recruit class needed to be increased to 24 firefighters instead of 15. So it's, again, being able to get the people in the engine houses, get the people, the fire or police officers out on the street.
It looks like we have a caller on the line here. And again, if you'd like to get in touch with us by phone, you can always give us a call at 1-800-471-9264. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. It looks like we have Curtis on the line. Curtis, good afternoon. You're on WBOI Talks.
Thank you very much. Chief York, I've never really thought about asking anybody about this before, but listening to you in your years of experience with this, I'm in my mid-60s now, and as a young teenager at the age of 13, I got involved in criminal stuff back in the late 50s, breaking, entering, stealing things, stuff like that. I was an angry, bitter child, but I didn't know why. And my parents were divorced before I was born, and I think that I was just angry that I didn't have a dad. And I know that there's way more kids now that are in that situation than I was. But I wondered if you have any thoughts about the degree of criminal activity we see growing in our culture, and if you could tell me, is there any kind of educational effort happening to try to help children that might have bad parents, to help children to think about how they can not fall into that kind of thinking? Boy, I don't even know how to say the question correctly now. I'm sorry. But do you have an idea of what I'm trying to say there?
I do. I do. And, you know, sir, I mean, when we look at crime, violent crime, there's so many different dynamics, and only so many can be addressed by the police department. But I think you bring up a really valid point that I think, you know, our families or lack of families certainly play a part in some of our crime issues. And I do think that there are programs available in the city of Fort Wayne. I think the problem sometimes, though, is that, you know, we have a lot of good programs, but I don't think there's a lot of attention paid to focusing those resources on any one individual. I don't think there's a clearinghouse where we can go out and say, well, this young person is having these problems. Who can we draw on within the community? I think a lot of times people have to search those out, and I think we could utilize much better the great programs and resources we have in the city of Fort Wayne.
Yes, okay.
Curtis, we appreciate your call.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I love public radio. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. We appreciate it. If you'd like to get in touch with us, if you have a question or comment for Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York, we'd love to hear from you this hour, 1-800-471-9264. You can always go to our WBOI Facebook page. Send us a tweet at WBOI. Bob Kaler.
Curtis raised or reminded me of an interesting possibility here. Is it likely that You may be examining how public safety agencies work with schools in Fort Wayne.
We're doing that right now. In fact, you know, we do currently, Bob, have
school resource officers.
And I know the Fort Wayne Community School System just recently got a grant for one more officer. We're in the process of identifying who from the Fort Wayne Police Department will fill that spot, but that person's going to be focused in the middle school. And I think we really need to, and we're working with the schools on this, shift more of our attention to the middle school age kids, even elementary school age, because quite frankly, by the time I think kids get into high school, maybe they don't take advantage so much of what our resource officers have to offer. And sometimes they turn into more of a security person than providing the mentoring and instruction that they could.
We do need to take a quick break here. In the meantime, we hope you'll get to the phones at 1-800-471-9264 or go to our Facebook page, our WBOY Facebook page, or tweet us at WBOY. More from Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York in just about 2 minutes. Stay with us.
The decade of war is now ending.
President Obama had high hopes for 2013.
An economic recovery has begun.
But things went downhill from there.
The House is going to do its own job developing an immigration bill.
My name's Ed Snowden. I'm 29 years old.
We fumbled the rollout on this health care law.
Obama's bad year today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon from 4 to 7 here on 89.1 WBOI.
It's time to meet music, meet music.
Happy holidays, I'm Julia Meek, and this week on Meet the Music, we're trimming that audio tree with seasonal music from Al the Remnant, Smooth Edge 2, the Schooley Family Holiday Band, and Farmland Jazz Band. That's tonight at 8, a two-hour serving of homegrown holiday goodness here at 89.1 WBOI.
I got my guitar and I've got my band.
The WBOI Vehicle Donation Program would love to have your used car before the end of the year. You'll get a tax deduction and help support our quality programming. The number to call is 866-647-7227 or go online to WBOI.org and look under the support menu. Call 866-647-7227 before December 31st to make a tax-deductible donation of your used vehicle.
Hi, I'm Rob Martinez, the host of The Nights Before Christmas. Please join me this Friday, December 20th from 8 to 11 p.m. as we listen to an hour of Christmas jazz and blues and highlights from my 2012 Christmas specials. You can listen online at WBOI.org or right here on your home for NPR News and diverse music, 89.1 WBOI.
Good afternoon. It's 2:40. This is our first ever edition of WBOY Talks. I'm Sean Beter. It's the first of our occasional two-hour call-in specials we plan on holding in the year to come to take a deeper look at the people and issues that make up our community. This hour, we're talking with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel and Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York, who's soon exiting that position to become the city's public safety director. If you have a question or comment for Chief York, please do give us a call at 1-800-471-9264, or you can always get on our WBOY Facebook page, post your question or comment there, or tweet us. It's at WBOI. Chief York, I want to get into some of the difficult challenges the police department, the city really has been facing this year. And of course, the headline there is the number of homicides mm-hmm. we've seen in the city this year. You mentioned other sectors you look at in terms of crime have been down. Homicides, though, an alarming trend that we've seen this year. Where are we now? Bring us up to speed, if you don't mind.
Well, in the county, so far the coroner's office has reported 44 homicides. Mm-hmm. For the city of Fort Wayne, two of those occurred in the county. So our typical, our average number of homicides per year is we report to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report is right around 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at November statistics, and we I think we had 35 at the end of November, but that can change. Obviously, we could have another homicide or two homicides, and we'd obviously increase, but it can go down as well, because as these cases are vetted by the prosecutor's office, they determine that they're self-defense, and we have several in there that could be ruled that way. They will fall off that number because self-defense justifiable homicides aren't to be reported on the UCR according to the FBI guidelines. So I think we will end up probably in the low to mid 30s at the end of the year. Hmm. And I think we have to go back to 1997, I believe, when we had 37 homicides. So we'll be close to that.
I think the question on everyone's mind throughout the year has been kind of what gives? I mean, what are the causes that we're seeing in these homicides? Is it gang related? Is it drugs? What are folks after in committing these crimes?
You know, Sean, it's been a very unusual year for a lot of reasons as far as violent crime homicides go in the city of Fort Wayne. Early on, we had one homicide that was domestic violence related, where Kenneth Knight killed his estranged girlfriend at a bus stop, and then took a family hostage, and he was ultimately shot by our snipers. Unusual situations like that. I know we've had at least one other domestic homicide. By and large, though, almost every one of our homicides, well, there's a common thread, I always say. It's obviously guns, but gangs and drugs. This year, we had one homicide victim who we know was the suspect in two other homicides. We have one homicide still on the books as a homicide we know is an accidental shooting, but the family refuses to come forward and identify the shooter. But again, gang activity, drug activity, you know, we found a disturbing trend for a while, and I think we can attribute a half a dozen of our homicides to robberies set up involving drug sales, where people come together for a drug transaction, somebody pulls a gun and either tries to rob the other person of money or drugs. It ends up in a shooting and a homicide. Hmm. One of our homicides involved a drug transaction where one of the involved persons shot the other one and the other person stabbed that person and they both died. Hmm. So it's just been really unusual. And also out of the ordinary is the number of cases we've been able to make arrests on and solve. Basically, you know, I think we've closed just about half of these homicides. So that's a high closure rate as well.
I'm sure our listeners are interested in getting involved in the conversation in the last 15 minutes of this hour of WBOY Talks. Do get in touch, 1-800-471-9264. Get on our WBOY Facebook page. You can comment there, or you can always tweet us. It's at WBOI. And looks like we have somebody on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Lou. Lou, good afternoon. You're on WBOY Talks.
Hi, good afternoon. I wanted to share a personal experience that I experienced in October. I was at Parkview Hospital. My husband had had a heart attack. And in the waiting room, I'm waiting, in the emergency room waiting room, and there was a lot of activity in there. And I, from what I gathered at that moment, I found out later, a young man had been shot, and he was pronounced dead. Within 10 minutes, the emergency room waiting room fills up. A lot of young men are coming in, and one guy found out that this man had died, and he yells out, "Let's go kill them," and it was very vile and vulgar. And believe me, at that point, I was terrified because it just seemed like more and more people were coming in. Yes, I understand it was a trauma and a tragedy to that family. The poor mother was laying in my lap at one point, crying. And I just couldn't understand that mentality. I understand that it's one going to get the other. But he walked right out of there, and I thought, here we go again. Here goes another one. And I truly believe, and I'm sure Mr. York will admit, that most of this is drug and gang related. And, you know, what's the solution? Is there a solution? The community needs to stand up and say, we're done with this. We are tired of it, and it has to stop.
Lou, we appreciate the call. Chief York, a lot of causes, but a few focuses in terms of those committing the crimes.
Well, Lou, you're absolutely right, and that's the scary thing about some of these homicides is, you know, when we have a gang-related homicide, we just kind of hold our breath because, you know, the other shoe's going to drop. And, you know, as you mentioned, you've experienced how social media, which probably resulted in all these kids showing up to hospital, that really fans the fire of these. But, you know, quite frankly, it does happen quite a bit, you know, within these various gangs. And we've seen these gangs fracture and split quite a bit over the last couple of years. And that just creates more feuds, more feuding among
exactly.
These various groups, and there's a lot of retribution. We find a lot of times the victim of a shooting will refuse to cooperate with the police, you know, because as Lou noticed there, they say, well, we'll just take care of it ourselves. And what we've done, we've really focused our gang unit on, we call them hot suspects, or actually they're persons at risk. And what they are, we identify people who have been charged with a gun, who've been the victim of a shooting. We feel the perpetrator of a shooting. Actually, we look at who they associate with and figure that they're probably going to be the next victim because of their gang involvement and their involvement in violence. And, you know, we focus our resources on them and try to take them off the street however we can.
That's exactly how I felt that day. I said, here goes another one, and the poor mother's laying there crying.
Right.
I grew up in Miami, Florida. I lived through the cocaine wars in the 70s and 80s. And what we found there was eventually they killed each other off, or the people that were decent, law-abiding citizens left.
Mm-hmm.
Left the community. And I hope that doesn't happen.
Me too.
I hope we can get control of it.
Lou,
thank you.
Lou, thank you so much for sharing your personal experience with us and for the call. We appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. 1-800-471-9264 is the number. If you have a question or comment for Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York, you can also go to our WBOY Facebook page or send us a tweet at WBOY. I know we have Tom on the line. Tom, we'll get to you in just a moment here, but Lou asked a very intriguing question in her call. Is this, to an extent, a problem that doesn't have an answer? I mean, it's seems like it's very difficult to stop, say, a retribution killing if somebody tipped that first domino.
It is tough at times. And you know, Sean, our only recourse at that point in time, you know, sometimes I call these young people involved in this lost boys because, I mean, we're not going to rehabilitate them. At least the Fort Wayne Police Department isn't. Our best chance is to just take them off the street for whatever reason, whether it's a gun charge or some other arrest. And that's what we're focusing on right now. But, you know, there's so many dynamics that go into this. But we've got a lot of these young kids who, you know, just live this lifestyle. I mean, it involves gangs, drugs, but owning that gun. And it's interesting, this is an aside, but we've worked really a long time with the ATF, and we've gotten really good at tracking guns. And where do these guns go when they're involved in a shooting? And they just keep changing hands, you know, from one gang member that's involved in a shooting, they probably sell it to somebody else to wash their hands of it. And it just, we see them continually, while we see the bullets fired from that gun showing up at many different scenes. So, you know, I do, when we look back historically at homicides, it is a cyclical thing. Typically, we look at three-year peaks, and obviously, we're on a pretty high peak right now. Mm-hmm. But I think it's these young people, unfortunately, ending up seriously injured or perhaps dead, or they end up in jail, and then we see some relief. But I wish there was more we could do, but many times that's actually what happens.
Let's open the phones back up here and see if we can get Tom on the line. Tom, good afternoon. You're on WBOY Talks.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question for your guest there regarding, I read a story back in when the recession was really at its height, and, you know, police departments, as most, police departments across the country had to do more with less, so that they had to actually lay off a lot of their police force, but there's also, you know, people are also being laid off from the job, so they were seeing a spike in their crime, so they took the money that they had, they were hiring economists, basically, to crunch all the numbers. I mean, they took all the information they possibly could, you name it, they did, and they crunched the numbers, and they were putting the police where it needed to be, when it needed to be there, and they actually started to see a drop in the crime rate. And I was wondering, do we do anything like that in Fort Wayne? Are we employing people like that to, you know, basically know where the crime's going to happen before the crime happens, so you have the police there, so the crime doesn't happen, basically? I can take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tom. We appreciate it. Chief York.
You know, Tom, we are very data-driven on the Fort Wayne Police Department, and our command staff analyzes that information daily. And just this morning, we had a CompStat meeting. Most modern police departments utilize CompStat, but it's bringing not only the Fort Wayne Police Department, but all of our federal, state, and local partners to the table and discussing just that. You know, what has occurred over this past week crime-wise? Who are the players? We identify those people. And, you know, that's what we do. We focus our resources then where we think these next burglaries, robberies are going to take place, and who's perpetrating these crimes, focus on them. We use a lot of GIS mapping. It's putting cops on the dots when you can.
Bob Kaler, just about 5 minutes left in the program.
I was really struck by your mentioning that a lot of times guns get passed around from shooter to shooter to shooter. What would move somebody who uses a gun in a crime not to dump the gun afterward? Why would he pass it around to someone else?
I think money, because that gun has value. And, you know, by this time, if a gun's used in a crime, usually it's not registered to that person. So if they can just unload it and get $100 or a couple $100 for it, and, you know, it's somebody else's problem then. But we're seeing that, you know, that quite a bit. Well, also in the straw purchases, it's kind of the same thing. A straw purchase is when a person ineligible to buy a firearm gets somebody else to buy that gun for them.
Right.
And then the person who purchases the gun obviously gives it to the bad guy, but then they report it stolen. So they're trying to wash their hands of it there too. So, we don't see a steady stream of firearms coming in from any other city around us necessarily. Straw purchases and guns used in crimes quite often are stolen burglaries.
Yeah.
Or out of cars.
We have just a few minutes left here, and I want to ask you, looking ahead to 2014, are there new resources? You mentioned the COPS grant. We'll get mm-hmm. some new officers into the city eventually here. What can the new chief, Gary Hamilton, what can you bring to bear to help reduce this problem? Whether it's cracking down on gangs or trying to get some of those guns off the street, or is it going to take legislation, either acts by city council or the federal government or the General Assembly?
Well, right now we're working very closely with our federal partners, both the FBI Safe Streets Task Force and ATF, on long-term investigations that we think will prove to be very valuable in taking really our most violent offenders off the street with federal charges. We've been working on that for the last 6 months, and that will continue into 14, hopefully with a culmination then. But I know Gary Hamilton's got some reorganizational plans in the works as well to focus some of our personnel on different gang-related issues, violent crime issues. So I feel comfortable that we're going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, ultimately, is this a matter of making sure? I you mentioned that grants are going to be a big part of your job coming up, continuing to bring new resources, I guess, to the department. Or do you foresee Fort Wayne Police having to kind of do the best with what they have resource wise right now?
Well, I think we're doing real good right now with what we have. But you know, we're going to get relief very shortly with this new academy class, and you know. Everybody focuses on the Fort Wayne Police Department, but we have to keep in mind that it's not just Fort Wayne. It's a county, it's a state, prosecutor's office, and federal agencies. We're all working together on this.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you've mentioned in previous programs that the FBI is always very involved with enforcement in the city as well.
And I can't leave out the DEA. They'd get upset. We work very closely with them, too.
Well, we have just a short time left here. We did have a Facebook comment here. Brad says, I wish Rusty luck in his new job, and we excitedly welcome the new Chief Gary Hamilton. So, Brad, wishing the best of luck to everybody as the transition goes forward. Very briefly, Chief York, any words you'd like to leave us with as you move into the new job and exit the police department here?
I'd like to thank Brad for his comment, but also I just feel so comfortable with the selection of Gary Hamilton as chief of police. I think he's already working hard to get his team on board, and I think people are going to be real happy with the mayor's selection.
Well, we'll have to leave it there, but Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York, soon to be the new Public Safety Director at the City of Fort Wayne. Thank you so much for taking time out for us today.
Thank you,
Sean. Thank you very much, Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. Bob will be back in the second hour of this WBOY Talks, but thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you.
I'm Sean Beter. Thank you so much to our listeners who got in touch with us as well. We will be back in just a few minutes to talk about the 2014 Indiana legislative session. This is WBOY Talks. Stay with us.